Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobro večer, pozdravljeni v intervju Radija Študent, kjer gostimo DJ TLR-a, znanega tudi kot Jörn van der Stara, ki je lomil kopje in sklepal prijateljstva ob organiziranju skvoterskih jungle žurov 90-ih pod imenom Global Darkness, a to pa čez čas ustanovil istoimensko pomembno zahodno-nizozemsko spletno stran pod istim imenom, ki je postala v tistem času pomembno vozlišče čudakov z vseh vetrov elektronike. Če prevrtimo več kot 15 let kasneje, ugotavljamo, da je van der Star bolj kot kdajkoli na vrhuncu svojih kreativnih moči. Znani kot eden najboljših DJ-ev na svetu, z nezgrešljivo eklektično selekcijo, povrh vsega pa je vodja zrožbe Cream Organization, ki je tako nekoč postavila temelje trenda hreščeče outsiderske estetike, ki se je utelesila v še eni popularni založbi, in sicer New Yorkski Lies. Pozdravljam ga pred njegovim nastopom v studiju Radija Študent. Hello Jörn, how is going?
Very good, thank you.
We've heard a lot about Cream Organization in the last months. It's become a very hip,
yeah.
Who would know? Very popular label. What has changed?
I don't know. I really don't know. But for me, nothing much has changed. The way the label is run, what we do, everything is the same. Just maybe a little bit more attention all of a sudden from various sources.
Have been a lot of labels like from New York, Long Island Electric Systems, Pan, and Opal Tapes. They've been tweaking this kind of matrix, but Cream Organization has been doing this for a very long time, actually, and not changing anything.
Yeah, all of a sudden that's being recognized or something, yeah. but I don't know, somehow, because these labels are becoming more popular and the sounds kind of change. We've been doing that for a long time, but that doesn't mean that these are like copycats, but it's just something that we've always, or I've always done, accidentally. And when you do something long enough, it's bound to come into fashion once every 10 years, maybe, who knows.
So, you've been really present in the internet. I think that Cream is one of the labels that really connects well with the internet age, also with promotion, but at the same time not really imposing itself, selling its core values. How do you feel about internet propagation of music and also promotion of releases, the image? The communication between your listeners, the target audience.
It's great because it's unfiltered, or it's filtered as far as that I put out what I want to put out, but there's no intermediate between the end user and us. So it's very direct, and I've always liked the internet for that reason, because you can just be very close to your audience and give and get back. That it's very interactive. I don't know, it's very easy to do, you don't need much resources, and you just need a bunch of people that make some cool stuff, and there you go, it's simple.
With Global Darkness, you preceded something that's been happening over...
Yeah, but that sounds a bit too pretentious, because basically what we did, put a forum in there, and there were many forums in those days. Maybe the subject of that forum was a bit esoteric, and now it's like, because there was not really anything like that kind of forum at the moment, but there were of course like thousands of forums for whatever you could think of, like it wasn't a revolutionary idea or something, just we were just a bunch of people that it's only because of the content we come from that it's kind of special, because it wasn't there yet, but the forum itself, it's like That was something that was very common and very obvious to do, It was the only thing, pretty much, that you could do after the newsletters, like chain letters or something.
Now with the internet and digital formats, it seems that electronic music is widespread, more widespread and more omnipresent than ever in the history of electronic music. But would you say that the scene itself, the underground dance music scene, is bigger? Is healthier?
I don't know. I think it's very healthy, yeah, in a way, because there's lots of labels, lots of releases, lots of people making stuff. It's a bit more open than it used to be. There's more experimentation, more crossover, less rules. It seems, maybe not everywhere, but in general, I think it's more, I think it's quite healthy. But what you don't see now, and what was always there, it's just different, is that back in the days, we used to get really plastic bags full of CDs in the mail every week. Just like real mail, people send CDs mm-hmm. over with demos, and now people throw everything on SoundCloud or something, but that makes it more visible, but it was already always there. It's like with books, you know, any publisher can tell you that they got 100,000 manuscripts every year and maybe they publish one. But people don't see that, they see the finished product and they think, oh, there's only so many books. But now everybody publishes everything itself on the internet and it looks like there's a lot more, but it's always been there in a way. People have always made music and it's just more apparent now, I think.
But still, your approach is different from most of the stuff out there.
I don't, yeah, maybe. In what way? And I'm going to interview you.
An umbrella term would be DIY, which clearly stems, as we talked a few months earlier, mm-hmm. from this punk, hardcore punk background.
And it's partially it's an ideological choice, but on the other hand, it's also just because if nobody cares, then the only one who's gonna do it is you, you know? I mean, there was nobody interested in that stuff, so yeah, of course you do that yourself.
Which bands did you listen to in the 80s?
Ah, dude, yeah, so many things.
In the background, the
Cress.
Cress, okay.
Yeah, that was my high school. High school music, you know. I don't know, like some of the big ones, obviously, you know, Cress, Dead Kennedys, Black Flag, blah blah. But also lots of. Yeah, I was always very. I don't know. Always looking and digging, and we were trading tapes and mm-hmm. records those days. Getting stuff from mail orders everywhere, so. Pretty much there was not so many releases, so almost every punk hardcore record from the 80s somehow passed through me or by me.
Did you listen to electronic music at the same time?
In the 80s?
Mm-hmm.
Not really, because it wasn't really there, to be honest. I grew up in the early 80s on the radio, everything was almost electronic for a while, you know? Mm-hmm. All the big pop music was electronic, like Yazoo and... Now I feel a little bit lost, but I think between 81 and 83, pretty much every big pop hit, at least in Holland, was electronic. Like Ultravox, Human League, mm-hmm. Yazoo, Bronski Beat, whatever, that was all electronic music. Then there was also like Italo music kind of sipping in Holland, and disco was also electronic then, you know, so pretty much, of course, I grew up with that, because mm-hmm. it was just omnipresent. And in like 81, 82, the only thing I had was a little radio and I listened to top 40 music, which happened to be electronic. But then when I could kind of choose more for myself and buy records, no. But there wasn't that much at that time, at least not until like house music came. Mm-hmm. But that was something that was for me very exotic and it was cool. I went to some parties and which turned out later to be one of the earliest house parties in Holland. But that was for me exotic and I that was cool for what it was, but I never got into those records. You didn't know, you could not get that music, you didn't really hear it. It was either you were at the party or not. And so in the 80s now, that was for me very minimal influence. And that was maybe like 88, 89 when that really first started. Before that, there was nothing electronic. Apart from that pop music and wave stuff.
Were there any anarcho-punks raving? And squad parties?
Anarcho-punks, what do you mean? Like... like big mohawks.
Maybe, or...
I don't know, I think by that time that was a very marginal youth movement in the late 80s already in Holland. But where I lived, I don't know, it was a small town kind of, so there was pretty much every alternative kind of scene was so small that it just had to cross over into each other, because mm-hmm. there was basically nothing... it wasn't big enough to form big scenes, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So there were maybe 10 people into, I don't know, hardcore punk or something, and there were 20 or 50 or maybe 100 kids into early hip-hop or something, but they all had to go to the same places because there was no network to support all these sub-scenes. So pretty much everything was kind of crossed over, so yeah, you could see everybody the same places, same 5-6 places.
I listened to your awesome mix from which you did in July, I think, in Zagreb, for Radio 808.
It
begins, I mean, in the beginning there's a song from the Future Times label, and when I listened to it, I immediately thought of two similarities and differences. Andrew Field Pickering from Future Times.
Yeah.
He comes also from a hardcore punk background.
Oh, that's possible, but maybe more from a 90s angle.
And yeah,
it's different vibe, totally
exactly.
Different vibe. That early 90s stuff I had already dropped out on. But it's
the label's really your label. I mean, I'm not drawing parallels on sound.
No,
attitude, in an aesthetic, there's a difference, although you both come from a hardcore punk.
Yeah, in
background.
A way. And same with Lice, you know, it also comes from a hardcore.
Yeah. So, do you think this trend that we started?
Records.
Yeah, of course.
The godfather of everybody. But, you know, yeah, that's. I don't know if that's something. Yeah, of course. If you have similar tastes and backgrounds, you're bound to kind of. Yeah, somehow and not end up in the same place. But it's a connection somehow, no? Same roots.
Not long ago, one of my good friends said, first comes politics, then comes music.
Yeah.
How much would you agree with this?
It depends on what he means, you know, if it's like some kind of union bullshit, I don't believe that. But personal politics come before everything.
Personal,
choices.
Yeah.
Life choices are fundamental, yeah. So that's kind of a truism in a way. You know, it's like, yeah, obviously, before you choose, you have made a choice and you haven't done. Yeah.
Well, what do lyrics, don't push me because I'm close to the edge?
Yeah, this is a Grandmaster Flash. Grandmaster Flash.
Tell us something about that record, the message of Grandmaster Flash and the Fearless Flash.
That was one of the first 7 inches I bought, I think, but there was coincidence.
Why?
Because I had no money and I could only buy the bargain bin stuff after it was out of the top 40. You could buy them for like they dumped the leftovers, and then I could buy it for, I don't know, 1 guilder. That's now 50 euro cents or whatever back in the days, and that was some pocket money. But I really liked that song and I thought it was very. I couldn't place it, of course, because it was kind of alien music in 1981. You know that like. Yeah, electro, hip-hop, it was pretty much for everybody a shock record.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of changed the whole music landscape. But for me, it was a very important record. I played it maybe, I don't know how many times, because I didn't have that many records, so it was like on repeat.
Did you like the lyrics?
Yeah, but I didn't really understand it. I remember that they were printed on the back of the 7-inch, and I showed them to my mother, like people pissing on the stairs, you know. It's just like, yeah, okay. I don't know what that is. Fortunately, her English is not that great, so I don't think she got the entire message. But yeah, I can still, A to Z, I can recite that record. I'm not gonna do it, but I can. And I don't think that will ever go, because I don't really listen to it. Maybe you can. No, I don't have to listen to it anymore, because I know it.
Yeah. The lyrics remind me of a certain romanticizing of some people from the maybe anarcho scene about the squats and stuff like that. And the life in the squats, the parties there, but it wasn't always as good as people remember. Do you have any?
You mean here? Yeah, I don't know anything about here.
I mean, from your time, from your place.
Yeah, I don't know. It had its moments, but it's like it's a normal passage of time. Things people remember. Things usually only in a good way, and you kind of forget about bad things. You know, it doesn't make. I don't know. It's like a psychological mechanism that the people. If you think back about something,
terrible that happened. Maybe not too terrible, but medium terrible. Like your car broke down and you had to walk 20 kilometers in the rain on bare feet to get one coffee somewhere. And, with a friend, then it was a terrible thing to do. But if you talk about it now, it's like, I remember that, blah, blah, you know? So it becomes like an anecdote. And the same way that's with those parties. Of course, they were cool, but it wasn't always fun. I don't know, it was just same as now. It's not different. People mythologize that, and a lot of people also did, that's when they had their moment, because that's when they went out and they were wild and blah, 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 and then they grow up or whatever you call it, and they switch to different lifestyles, so that's like their memory. And they, you know, but it's for people now, that's the same. That memory will be the same in 10 years. It's not a magical time, not at all. I mean, you know, yeah, in a way it is, but in a way every time is. You know.
Speaking of nostalgia, I have quite a few friends that like to listen to Italo disco.
Yeah.
I have a record here.
Oh, so that's not Italo, huh?
No, it's not Italo yet. But it's... do you like Italo disco?
Yeah, but I've heard it a bit too much.
I don't like it. And, how would you convince me?
No, I won't convince you, but because I don't need to.
You don't need to. I don't need convincing for Italo.
No, because if you don't like it, you know, why would I want to convince you? Because I don't play it. I mean, okay,
you don't play it?
No, there's a few tracks that I really like, but then you've heard them too much because it's kind of music that's oversaturated, so it becomes after a while a bit boring. And then there's a whole lot of stuff that's very. Yeah, if you go very deep in it, a lot of stuff isn't very good. So I convinced me. I don't know. I don't really have a strong opinion about it. Some tracks I really like, but most of it as a genre, it's okay, but nothing that I really get too excited over.
You
and this is, for instance, okay, the Serona 3 for the people at home. You can't see it. The
Supernature.
Supernature. It was always the ultimate in bargain bin music, where I'm from. Every flea market you could find 100 of them for 20 cents.
Top five.
And nobody would ever buy that. And only since 5-6 years, even those records have gone from the flea market. But it was always the ultimate.
But now, do you think it's expensive?
If it's expensive, then people are idiots. Because you can still find lots of it. If it's more than 5 euros, I'd be really surprised.
Yeah, I found it in a basement in Belgrade.
Oh, in Belgrade?
Yeah, like the
together cover. With the left leg from a Barbie doll. Or
yeah, something like that. Okay. I like the cover.
Yeah, the covers are great. The Serone is really weird. But
it's weird as hell.
This is more a visual thing that people want to really
and,
pick up on it.
But you don't have a strong opinion about Italo disco, but you had a really strong opinion on Electro Clash.
Yeah, but that was then, you know. That was that was just kind of music that we didn't like, attitude we didn't like. From a completely different angle with all the fashion stuff and I don't know, very affectated and we came from a darker background and music was more important and this sounded, it was always a bit like a throwaway bubblegum attitude. Just
what
kind of techno disguised as electro, you know, just with some kind of arpeggio or octave bass line and that's it and the rest is boom 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 flat. Of course there's some good stuff in it, but back in those days that was kind of the enemy. We were a bit more
militant.
Yeah.
You have been more militant in the past than now, I think.
Yeah, of course.
Why?
I don't know. Yeah, well,
has time, time worn you out?
No, it hasn't worn you out, but I don't know. It's get a little bit more mellow, you know. And a lot of things are not so important. I think in the end it's more important that you like what you do and that you can be behind that, and it's not really important what others do and you don't have to see it as a threat or you don't have to get angry about it. It's just what it is. Do what you do, you know. I don't care anymore.
How do you feel about the recent rise of interest in disco? Cosmic disco.
Wow. Oh, I thought it was already over. I don't know. Is it here now or
no,
Balearic? I don't know. That was in my mind like mid 2000s. Was lots of
disco edits, repressings, etc. But I don't really keep track of that, but I, well, we do the mail order, so I don't see a lot of that stuff coming past him, not as much as back in 2008 or 2007. Mm-hmm. It was really peak time. And yeah, again, if people like to do that music and other people like to listen to it, who am I to say that they can't, you know, it doesn't matter. Really.
Okay, tell us something that they should listen to about some new projects of Krem.
Well,
releasing
records every month, you know, and they're worth listening to every last one of them. But you can listen to them on the internet, or you can buy them at godspeel.net or something like that. And yeah, this Arzan is also steamrolling through, and number 7 is coming up.
Mm-hmm. What's the project about? For those who are not acquainted with
it. Oh, okay, that's like a little bit more anonymous, pretty much, that... it's just a label, and there's no artists really on it, so everything is under the same label name. Mm-hmm. And it's also the artist name if you want, but then it's just tracks, and it's supposed to be strong enough to stand on its own without that kind of thing that you always have egos attached to it, and collecting of names on Discogs pages. And to do a little bit more like some of the older Detroit stuff, a bit more faceless, and but it's kind of in the same vibe, I think, but not as much about the artist, but more about the whole thing.
But it's it has this ravey feeling.
Yeah, it's a bit more techno 90s, yeah. 90s ravish hardcore, almost. It's kind of cross points between techno, UK hardcore, even almost a bit of jungle, breakbeat. I think it was a very cool time, music-wise, like 93, 92. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah. What about the other stuff on Krem? The Mark Cantu?
Yeah, the Mark Cantu, it's just released. Mm-hmm. New EP, I think 2 weeks ago or something like that, it came out. And we have Inner Shades coming out next week. Xosa record is finally coming. It took like almost 2 years to release for some reason. Simon Sino record that's finished, another Myriad, a double EP from a US guy. New Legoweld coming. We're doing a new album, Legoweld album, beginning next year. Mm-hmm. Follow up of Paranormal Soul.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
In good health.
Yeah, it's going, it's on a roll, you know, to Krem and Arzan together, it's, I don't know, it's like 20, 25 records this year.
So, Chicago House, how would you estimate its health in 2013?
I don't know, as an influence, very healthy, like, you know, but that's the thing, as long as it's not a throwback copy or something, of course, it is... It's an eternal influence. Mm-hmm. It will never go bad, as long as people will use it in some way that's interesting now, you know? Same with the old techno, it will never lose its value as an influence, or even also Italo or disco, that will always be a healthy influence. But yeah, it just depends on what people do with it. But I can't look in the future, so I don't know. I hope it's gonna be good, But I predict now we're officially, and it's already started, so people can know that, but 2014, the breakbeat is going to be back in a big way, really, really big way.
It's already has, actually. It's, fucking everywhere.
And I thought that last year already, but it's quicker than I thought, but I think next year it will be really everywhere for a year.
Now in every BPM.
Yeah, but I like that now it's in 128, 130, that's cool, you know, it's not as speedy as back in the days, like 140, 50, so it's like a techno tempo.
Cool. So, what will you be playing today? How would you describe the sound?
A little bit of everything, I don't know.
It sounds like Elvis Presley.
How do you describe that? I don't know, that people ask me, what do you play, what would you describe? If it's like pick one of those mixes, and then how would you describe it?
Rolling, shuffling, bass heavy, house music.
Maybe techno.
Yeah?
House techno.
House techno, running shuffling bass heavy, house techno. No, that's it, people.
Okay, any last messages for the listeners of Radio Student?
I hope to see you tonight. If you enjoy that kind of music, then feel free to come to the party, you know. It's going to be a good one, I hope.
Yeah, we have extra speakers.
Towers. Yeah, I saw that. It's like Motorhead.
It's like Motorhead.
Wall call. Speakers. Bleeding ears, popping eyeballs.
Sounds great. Like a cover of a Creme record.
Really?
Yeah.
Not so gory, though.
Not so gory. Maybe euphorically. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Aaron, for this chat. Takole, tole je bil DJ TLR, znan kot Jeroen van der Star, Sar. No, če ga želite slišati tudi v živo, vabljeni danes na dogodek v Channel Zero. Lahko pa tudi pred odhodom poslušate živ prenos DJ Seansi, ki bo potekal iz kvarne Bikofe. Z vami sva bila 359 za reglerji in za mikrofonom Dino. Jesus died for his own sins, not mine. Intervju Radija Študent.